address the situation at hand that needed to be addressed to him because of who he was for his media perspective-wise and how guys kind of carried him in the team a little bit. But other than that, it was some things he did just this time in the locker room. Like, I might be a problem to the front office, but for his locker room goes, me and my guys ride together forever. Like, that whole situation was sticky because we lose, and then, as you know, you do little things that are drama queenish. And then he dogging out this guy, that guy. It's everybody's fault except his, and then it's a reason this and a reason that. Everybody pointing the finger when you losing, and then nobody want to say something to him. And then I say something to him, the criminal, the bad guy, and the media just ran with it. But like I said, that man know what he did to the locker room a little bit, and then I was the one to address that, and still was addressing to this day. So if he can't come out on media and tell him what he did and how he actually quit on this team way before the season was over with, then that's all in itself.
On that note, welcome to the Jet Up Bleeding Green podcast. I'm Michael Palace. You can call the show here, 646-564-9752. That was Sheldon Richardson on the Michael K. Show on ESPN Radio. He was talking about Brandon Marshall. ESPN's Mike and Mike used to, back in the day, have a Just Shut Up award. Well, Sheldon Richardson deserves that award right now. In fact, they should rename it the Sheldon Richardson Award because he doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut. And it goes all the way back to last season, last offseason, when they should have cut him. Last offseason. Everybody wants him gone now. It's a little bit late for that. First of all, the Jets aren't going to cut him. They should. They're not going to. Because he's due $8 million guaranteed, and if they cut him, they have to eat the money. It's not going to happen. His trade value is way too low at this point, so they can't trade him. They have to wait until the trade deadline to build up his trade value, hopefully. He threw management under the bus earlier in the week, saying there were good deals on the table, quote unquote. Yeah, and you didn't take a pay cut. Now, granted, it's the NFL. Take your money when you can. But come on, really? And then you throw Brandon Marshall under the bus when he's not even on your team anymore. And if you want to go back to last season, the straw that should have broke the camel's back was after getting suspended for using marijuana last offseason. If you don't remember this, he gets up on the podium and he apologizes to the fans and the media and the organization. And he promises that his name won't be in the news anymore. He promised his name won't be in the news anymore. And then one month later, we find out about the traffic stop, which happened before the press conference. Really? Got pulled over for doing 143 miles an hour with an 11-year-old in the back of the car, a loaded gun under his seat, and according to the police, the car smelled like weed. That should have been it. That should have been it for the Jets. They could have saved a whole ton of money this year. It would have saved them $5 million last year, $5 million this year. Instead, they let his money hit the books this year and last year, and now they're stuck with him. Now, granted, he could be a great player. He could be a good player. But last year he had a sack and a half. A sack and a half. Now, that was on a bad defense. And we'll see what he can do this year. And it was also with him playing defensive end and linebacker. Yeah, he's a talented player. But, and he claims he wants to be a Jet for life. All this Jet for life talk is not going to happen. He's done. He's done with the Jets after this year. There's no chance Sheldon Richardson comes back in 2018 as a part of this defense. He should not be coming back, and he should not be on this team now. But there's no choice but to keep him on the roster, unfortunately. Let's segue into this wide receiver mess, or the perceived wide receiver mess. All over social media, and frankly the regular media, people are now starting to question the Eric Decker cut. I mean, they did a lot of people did immediately. I was one of those people who said the move was necessary. Some people questioned the timing of the move. Well, the Jets had to wait for him to be healthy to cut him because they wanted to trade him first. They wanted to try to trade him first. If you want to question the talent of the rookies, go ahead. Everybody's all over social media, traditional media. Everybody's saying, well, see, should have kept Eric Decker. Now all we have is a bunch of young guys who suck. Oh, yeah? They suck? Prove it. Or are you just assuming they're bad because you haven't seen them? It's the fear of the unknown. That's the problem with sports in today's society. We all want instant gratification in today's society. We don't want to wait and see and actually decide, oh, these guys are good, but fine. That's fine. I understand that. But if you're questioning the ability of the players, you're not just questioning how good the players are. Questioning of front office management saying that they should have held on to Eric Decker. You know what you're also saying? You're questioning a wide receivers coach and the offensive coordinator. Carl Durrell, who most of you don't know his name, he's the wide receivers coach. He's in his third year with the Jets. He oversaw the first teammates in 17 years to have 1,000-yard receiving seasons. He was the wide receivers coach in 2015 when Decker and Marshall had 1,000-yard and 10-plus touchdowns each. I will grant you that Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall had already established themselves as quality wide receivers in this league. But no Jets wide receivers coach has oversaw two 1,000-yard seasons in the same year and 10-plus touchdowns, by the way, from each guy. But the 1,000-yard receiving part, no wide receivers coach has oversaw Jets wide receivers since 1998. And we're also questioning the ability of John Morton to put these wide receivers in spots where they can succeed. In his first year as an offensive coordinator, it's kind of as stupid as questioning the talent of the receivers before they even play a game and prove how good or bad they actually are. Can't we give this team as a whole, coaches and players, some time to prove how good they are? Not in shorts, not in padless practices, not at training camp. Saturday is the day. Now, I know it's dry, it's preseason, dry playbooks, but at least it's a game. At least it's installing things. It's at least installing some semblance of a game plan. But before we judge how good or bad this wide receiver group is, give the coaches time to coach them in a game. And then, and only then, can we really judge how good this wide receiver group is going to be. I'm going to take a short break right now, and then we've got Tony Williams coming on.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
All right, guys, welcome back. We've got Tony Williams on the show today. Welcome back to the show, Tony.
Thank you.
So let's get right into the Sheldon Richardson business. You're with the team every day, or close to every day. How true was it that they had quote-unquote good deals on the table, and they were only cut short by Sheldon Richardson not taking a pay cut? Was that honest from Sheldon Richardson, or was there, or does he not really have the information?
Well, to me, initially, it sounded like he was trying to boost his own value, because that was the first time I had ever heard that. I think before that, prior to that, I had only heard one team was interested, and that was the Cowboys. And I heard that the asking price for the Jets was too high. I had never heard about, about Sheldon's other offers from other teams, and also him saying that, I didn't want to go because I didn't want to take a pay cut or whatever. I didn't hear that ever until that time, when he said so. So to me, it was only a one team race with the Cowboys in front. So to me, it's kind of shocking to me.
If it is true, is it selfish on his part not taking the pay cut?
No. As far as guys in the NFL go, I never begrudge a guy trying to get as much money as possible or trying to hold on to as much money as possible, because they have the worst union in pro sports. So if these guys negotiate these bad deals, I tell them, I say, I don't begrudge you at all. I say, get the money when you can, and if they want to have your pay cut, then I would say I wouldn't advise that, because the NFL is such a cutthroat thing, an entity, that these owners and GMs don't really care about them. They only care about the bottom line. So to me, Sheldon was right. If that's true, I don't blame him for saying I don't take a pay cut.
What offers would have constituted a good deal, though?
Well, for the Jets, I've heard last year that it was a first-rounder, and Dallas laughed at that. So they're going to have to come off at any high asking price for Sheldon. First of all, I wouldn't move him if I'm the Jets. But if they're so compelled to, I would imagine probably mid-round pick will get it done. Anything between a 3, 4, 5, which to me is robbery, because Sheldon is such a great talent. I know he has off-field concerns, but talent-wise, on the field, he is tremendous, and I don't think you give equal value for him.
I agree. They're going to probably end up letting him walk for nothing. But as far as the other news of the week, the unfortunate news, the neck injury to Quincy Enunwa, who do you think has to step up for this team, for this team to be successful in 2017? Because the last time you were on with us, you had told me and the listeners that if everything falls right, you think they can go 8-8.
Yeah.
So what players can step up in Quincy Enunwa's absence to make that possible?
Well, they're going to have to go back to their old ground and pound days and just run the ball a lot. I don't trust McCown. He's 2-20 as a starter over the last 2 years. I definitely don't trust Hackenberg just yet. And it just looks like Bryce Petty is not even in the conversation. So what they're going to have to do, I think, is have very strong running games. Use the tight ends for once. They haven't used tight ends in years in New York. So use the tight ends more and running game more. I guess rely on that. But as far as filling the old spot left over for Enunwa, it's a mismatch of players that, you know, some haven't even heard of. I mean, probably the most experienced player on the roster is...
Sorry, I'm going to have to cut that interview short. Let's talk about Saturday, the Jets open preseason, and McCown is going to start. I can actually dig that. That's reasonable for McCown to start. They don't think Hackenberg is going to be is ready to work with the first teamers. And apparently yesterday he did work with the first teamers for a little bit in camp, and he threw his first two picks of training camp. But Hackenberg needs to be the week one starter. They need to develop him. They need to work with him to be the week one starter. They need to have McCown be the most expensive backup or even third stringer in NFL history. They signed him for $6 million. It's probably part of the reason why they're starting him, which is a mistake. Hackenberg needs to develop a rapport with the wide receivers and tight ends and offensive linemen. And especially the offensive linemen and the center. He needs to get more time with the first teamers in camp, more timers with the first teamers in games, and start week one. That's my opinion. That's a lot of people's opinions, actually. And let's see what he could do. That's the show for today. I will be back next week live at 6 a.m. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful week.